Hello everyone and welcome to this week's Leamington Hour podcast with me, Gary Jones. Now I hope you've all had a fantastic week and I've got another good show waiting for you to listen to today. Now today's guest is Derek Fraser-Crossan and he is a really good guy who loves hypnotherapy. We're going to talk about his background, how he got into it, what he loves, what common misconceptions there are about the industry, and he's going to give you some really cool, really good practical advice to help you on a day-to-day basis. And also, we'll calm it down a little bit and we'll actually do a little exercise in part two. So it's a three-part interview. Part one's all about his background, second one's about what he's doing at the moment, and then we've got the podcast extra. So let's get on with part one. One thing I love about networking events and just life in general is you never know who you're going to meet. And a couple of, probably about a month ago, I met a lady called Alison Fox, and she introduced me to this, well, she spoke about this really inspirational figure that has helped to overcome loads of stuff. I'm here now with Derek, who is the person credited for that, and I have to speak to him because he's just golden. I've met him a couple of times now. Thank you very much, Derek, for coming on to the show.
Thank you very much, Gary, for having me on your show today.
No, it's great.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you. So, in terms of what you're doing and where you've come from, let's start with what you're doing at the moment. So tell us a bit about your business and a bit about...
Well, I'm a clinical hypnotherapist in Stratford-on-Avon.
Okay.
I'm also, I call myself an empowerment architect because I help people empower themselves to make changes.
Makes sense.
With my help and with a positive mindset, there's nothing really that can't be changed.
Okay, fair enough. I know when speaking to Alison, she was crediting you for empowering her beyond means. And
yeah,
amazing, the transformation.
Alison is one of my successes, and it was great to see her when she initially came to me for public speaking. I knew there was things we could work on.
Yeah.
And so I helped her with some public speaking tips. But more than that, I helped her with coping with anxiety and stress and actually projecting her voice.
Mm-hmm.
And when you project your voice, you project your aura as well. So you feel good and other people feel good listening to you.
Yeah, that makes sense. People are attracted to the same force as what they're being applied to. So if you exude positive energy, energy back.
And unfortunately, most people have a negative mindset. So they'll say things like, well, I can't do that. I'll never be able to do that. And lo and behold, you'll never be able to do that.
They're 100% correct all the time.
Now, it only takes a little tweak to turn that in positive to say, yes, I'm fine. I've got the power to make these changes. I want to change.
Mm-hmm.
The more you tell yourself that, the more it will happen.
Makes sense.
Obviously, if you come to someone like myself for that help,
mm-hmm.
I'll let the person know that they can make those changes.
Yeah.
But they have to believe that they want those changes.
Yeah. I suppose if they don't believe, they're never going to be in the right mindset to be able to do it.
Yeah, that's it. You've got to want to change. And by the time people come to see me, they want to change. So they may come with me because they don't have much positivity.
Mm-hmm.
But that might just be the symptom. There could be something else deeply.
So you need to actually look underneath it and find.
Yeah,
what's
for a lot of things, people who don't have much self confidence, there can be other things in there.
Yeah.
There could have been stress or anxiety when they were young,
mm-hmm.
or parents for unfortunately telling them, "Well, you'll never be any good at that."
Yeah.
And lo and behold, a young mind will take that in.
Yeah. There was an interview that I did. Probably a couple of months ago, and he said that one of his parents gave him love beyond no means. It was lovely, but they always said that you'll never be able to do a particular thing, and that was his monkey on the shoulder for years until he went to the point where he thought, do you know what, I can do it. This is wrong for me not to think it, and then he changed it.
And
but it took him about 30 years to do that.
When people realise and they get that light bulb moment,
yeah.
that there's something they can do about it, then everything changes.
Mm. Cool. So how did you start hypnosis and how did you get into it to start off?
Well, actually, I've been in a hypnotherapist for 3 years. So
okay.
I didn't, before that, I was actually a systems analyst in computers.
Oh, wow, okay.
So totally different.
So let's go back. So before you started it, then did you have an interest in it?
Because yes, I did. I did actually, because my, you know, being Scottish myself, my grandmother, she was into, you know, like all alternative things, and I think I got some of that from her. She was always one with nature, like I am myself. Well, I love nature.
Yeah,
I've never, you know, I'm really a country boy. I love going back up to Scotland because it really, you know, you hear these things where the hills calling me. Well, they actually do call me, you know, come away, Derek, come away. So I'm going back to the hills. And of course, that makes me feel great.
Because which is the whole point of everything.
And people used to be one with the earth. Mm. They used to be connected to the earth, but now people are so displaced now that they lose their identity. Mm. Oh. So I've always wanted to do something like that. I've always wanted to give something to somebody that makes me feel good as well, and hypnotherapy just hits that right on the nail.
Yeah, cool. So, systems analyst, how long were you a systems analyst
for? I was a systems analyst for 7 years.
Okay.
And initially it was good.
Yeah.
But then it became quite repetitive.
Oh, okay.
And unfortunately, machines don't have much of a conversation with you. So they'll talk back to what you put in, but if you put in the wrong things, they will talk back with the wrong answers.
Of course they will. Of course they will. So you needed... So I'm a big believer of doing something that you're passionate about and finding out what your why is and then working towards it. Did you know what your why was, and is hypnotherapy?
Yeah.
Does that cover it?
My why was definitely contributing to people's well-being.
Sure.
I've seen... I've been interested in hypnosis for quite a long time. I'm talking about 30-odd years.
Yeah,
and I'd seen a few people. But like a lot of people, I'd seen stage hypnotists, which is not what I do.
No.
But it gives a wrong impression about it. But some of the techniques they use in there, I use as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say this to people, because the mind does not know what is real and what is perceived in the mind.
Okay.
So, I could be talking to you now, but your mind doesn't know if that's reality or not.
Okay.
And because of that, you can create your own reality in your mind.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, you can create something in your mind that says, I'm going to be thin, I'm going to be empowered, I'm going to be strong, I'm going to be doing all these things.
Mm. And I suppose that,
and
is
the more
that
you visualize it, the more it will happen.
Okay. So... can you give an example of that for the listeners?
Yeah, surely.
Because that's quite a deep thing and I want to fully understand it.
Yeah. So a client of mine I had a little while back came to me because they felt trapped. They felt trapped in their house and they couldn't do anything about it. Going back and looking at that client, it was because... parents had told her that she'd never amount to much.
Okay.
And she'd accepted her lot that she accepted she wouldn't be able to do much about it.
Okay.
She came to see me and I basically told her that every life is important. Every life should be lived to the full.
Mm-hmm.
And you can live that life to the full. So she changed her mindset. She changed her picture.
Yeah.
She changed her story. To know that she could do something about it.
Mm-hmm. So she changed her reality.
She changed her reality.
Okay, that makes sense.
And by constantly, at the end of every evening, visualising what she wanted to do, she changed her reality.
Yeah, okay.
And so her thinking changed and her persona changed.
Mm-hmm. So for, let's say, you have someone who's working in an environment that they're not too happy with, if they start to visualise themselves in somewhere else and start to maybe then those visualisations will create actions and behaviours that will get them closer to that goal.
Yes.
Then they will move to that goal. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's about right. Of course, they'll need...
there's so much other stuff to go on.
They'll need direction and that's where I come in. But yes, you can.
Okay.
I mean, the top business people, like Richard Branson and everything else, they always perceive themselves, visualise themselves... at the end goal, not the journey to get there,
but the end goal.
At the end goal. Now, if you visualize that enough, you'll take steps to get to that without knowing it.
That makes sense. A couple of years ago, we're breaking off topic here a little bit, but I was training for a half marathon, And I was doing probably 5Ks every couple of weeks, so yeah. I was okay kind of at that level. And obviously the marathon is 21K or 13 miles, yeah, for people who don't know about it. Difference between for me was half hour to 2 hours running. So I thought, you know what, every run I go to, I'm just taking one step towards that goal. So in my mind, I'd completed the half marathon already, but every run I was doing, I was getting closer to that goal. So when I hit my first 2 hour run, and I knew it was going to take about 2 hours, guess what? That's one more step towards it. And that's how I thought about it. So actually on the day, that was the end goal. That was, it already ticked off. I'd finished it. So I understand where you're coming from.
Because you've taken little steps. Mm. Saying I like saying is the Chinese philosopher Lao Tse said, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with one single step.
Yep.
You need to take a step and say, oh yeah, that was good. I'll take another step.
Mm-hmm. So talking about steps, you had an interest in hypnotherapy for 30 years.
Yeah.
And three years ago, what changed?
Yeah, well, I'd been listening to one of the top hypnotherapists in the country called Adam Eason.
Okay.
I'd been listening to some of his audios, mm-hmm. and things were like boosting your positivity, things like that.
Yeah.
And by chance, he was doing a diploma course, mm-hmm. a hypnotherapy practitioner diploma course, which is equivalent to an NVQ level 4.
Okay.
So I was able to get on that course, and totally changed my life from the first time.
Yeah, so it was a light bulb moment at that point.
It was definite light bulb moment, and we had a lot to do in class. We had to do practical exercises in class,
mm-hmm.
and I could see that I was helping people just by doing those exercises.
Nice,
making people feel good.
So, how long did it take you after that course to then set up?
Well, the course was 10 months, and straight after the course, I basically set up in Stratford-on-Avon.
Okay.
So I've been practicing full time for over 2 years.
Oh, nice, nice. And where is it in Stratford-upon-Avon?
It's just by the hospital in the Tudor Medical Group.
Okay, yeah.
Which is just right outside the Stratford Hospital.
Yep, I know where it is. Yeah. It's not far away. It's easy to get to. Quite happy.
Yeah, in Arden Street, just behind the Arden Street car park, basically.
No, that's grand. Cool. Well, we're going to stop it there, and we'll move on to the part two.
Great. Cheers. Thank you.
If you did want to get on the podcast, all you need to do is contact me through Twitter, search me at Leamington Hour, all one word, and then you'll be able to find us, connect with us. You can check me on LinkedIn and Facebook as well as Gary Jones, but mainly let me know about your story, let me know about your business or event, and we'll get it sorted. But I would love to have you on the show, and I would love to hear, promote and connect you with other business owners and help you promote your business or service. Let's carry on with part two with me and Derek, where we're going to be talking about his products and services and also a little exercise that you can do anywhere around. So this is part two with Derek and myself. We're back now with Derek for part two, and I completely forgot to mention at the start of the last part, but what's your business called?
It's called Derek Fraser Crossan Hypnotherapy.
Nice and straightforward.
Yeah, and I'm in Arden Street on Stratford-on-Avon.
Brilliant. So on part one, we've covered a bit about your history and your background, and it's brought us up to the present day. So in terms of your services and products, you mentioned about hypnotherapy, but what actually is it and how can it help people?
Well, I think this is time for a definition of what hypnosis is.
Do it.
And unfortunately, it's as long as a piece of string.
Okay.
But because some people think of hypnosis as an altered state.
Okay.
So an altered state of mind.
Go.
So yeah, Gary, so you were saying, so what is hypnosis? Mm. I think a definition is called for.
Yep.
For me, hypnosis is a state of altered suggestion.
Okay.
So it's a heightened state of suggestibility.
Okay.
So you can take in my suggestions. Mm-hmm. So for instance, you want to lose weight.
Yep.
I can give you suggestions towards that. Or for confidence, I can give you suggestions to that. So you'll take those in and manage those with my help, of course.
Mm-hmm. So I know we were talking in the break about wills and behaviours.
Yeah.
And one point that you made was that the person's got to have the mental ability or the mental state or the will to complete it.
Exactly. So, for instance, if somebody comes to me and they say to me, my wife says I've got to come here to stop smoking.
Yeah.
Well, that's not going to work because that person doesn't have the will to stop smoking.
Got you.
So I can't really work with them. And I would tell them, you know, I would say to them, well, do you want to stop smoking?
Yeah.
And if they said, well, no, I'm quite happy with that, then I'd say, I'm sorry, we can't work with you that.
Mm.
However, if somebody came to me said, I really need more confidence, I'm not confident doing things,
mm-hmm.
I'm not confident in public speaking or being in crowds, and I really want that to change, then that's the sort of person I can work with because they want change.
They're craving it.
They want it, they crave it, they need it.
Yeah.
And they're excellent subjects.
Cool.
For myself.
Cool.
I mean, the services I offer, a lot of them, I call myself an empowerment architect because I empower people to make the changes. So people come to me for lack of self-confidence, stress, anxieties, phobias like fear of heights, things like that.
Yeah.
I can help them all with that because they want those things to change. One of my niches at the moment is public speaking.
Yeah.
And I know you interviewed a lady quite recently, Alison Fox, and she was one of my clients.
Mm.
And we've become friends from that.
Mm.
And she said I'd transformed her life, which is really nice of her. And that makes me feel brilliant.
Yeah, she's full of praise.
Such a passion I have. Mm. And so for people who want to make that change, it's excellent.
So, okay, so just to throw it out there, in terms of public speaking, is there some common things that people are afraid of? Don't we break off topic a little bit?
There's a lot of misdemeanours. People think public speaking is a broad term, so it's not necessarily somebody standing up on stage speaking in front of thousands of people.
No.
It could be in a one-to-one social situation. It could be speaking to your bank manager.
Yeah.
It could be speaking to somebody you don't know,
mm-hmm.
and that makes you feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, a lot of people think if they're up on stage that everybody's going to be laughing at them. Now, this is one of the main things people are scared of with public speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is that they don't want to hear what that person has got to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually tell them, you're up on stage for some reason because people want to hear what you say.
Yeah.
You know, people want to hear what you say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from someone who does public speaking, well, not public speaking, it is public speaking, so I'm talking in public, on networking events, on workshops and seminars, I get it because when I do it, you were in the audience, I did a speech about public speaking and, you know, that was only one part of it, but I asked them what's stopping them from doing it. And it was those exact reasons that you said.
Yeah.
And there was only kind of three or four reasons that most people would stop, you know, stopping them from doing it.
And but for a lot of people, that's quite debilitating.
Yeah.
But it's not, when you look behind that, there's usually a lack of confidence there.
Yeah.
Not necessarily to do with public speaking, but confidence in general and self-worth.
Yeah.
People who think other people are laughing them up on stage, don't have enough self-worth to know that they can project what they want to say, and people listen.
Yeah, true.
So they have low self-esteem, low confidence, massive anxiety because they think people are going to laugh at them.
Yeah.
So for them, it's like a crushing weight on them.
Mm.
So public speaking is to be avoided at all costs.
Yeah.
When really, when you break it down and they start to believe in themselves, it becomes a natural progression.
Yeah. No, I think for me, public speaking is fantastic. And it took me a while to get to that stage because I was a nervous wreck when I first started. But I think if you can overcome it, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
But some people do need direction to be able to do that.
They do. They do need. But as I say, I mean, public speaking is a symptom.
Yeah.
There's lots of things behind that, and it's a case, what I do in my practice, is I sort of get behind that and find out the various things.
Yeah.
And a lot of these things can happen from childhood, you know, that they're not self-confident.
No.
Your mother might say to you, well, you're never going to be loved. You're never going to get the man of your dreams. Who's going to want to go out with you? Things like that.
Yeah.
And they stay in your mind till adulthood.
Yeah.
You might have put them behind, and now you're an adult, doesn't affect you, but it does.
Yeah.
It does. You know, you've got to sort of tame the beast, as it were, and confront it.
Yeah. And I suppose that's a slight warning as well, or word of advice for any parents listening to it.
Yeah, any parents, well, I would say to them, praise your child.
Okay.
When they do something good, really praise them. So that's been really great. I'm glad you've done your homework. You're going to be so good. You're going to go on to university. You're going to do all this.
Mm.
Now, those things
yeah.
will manifest in their mind and make them feel good.
Yeah. And going on to the earlier point about the reality, going into that,
yeah.
if you're saying that kind of things, then when they are choosing what they want to do,
yeah.
so they're already visualising what they want to do.
They're
visualising
and they're altering their future reality.
All makes sense. All makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of something that doesn't make sense, is there's probably some misconceptions or some kind of pitfalls that people probably think of your industry you have to dismiss that.
Unfortunately, my industry gets mixed up with stage hypnosis.
Okay.
So you see people up on stage quacking like chickens and think, I don't want to do that.
No.
Hypnosis is not for me.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not hypnotherapy.
Okay.
And the word therapy you add on to that
yeah.
is because you have something you want to change.
Okay.
It could be self-confidence, fear of heights,
mm-hmm.
Confidence boosting. It could be anything, really.
Yeah, so there's no clucking like chickens.
There's no... If you wanted to cluck like a chicken, I could make you cluck like a chicken. But what purpose does it serve?
Fair enough.
But what people also forget, mm-hmm. when they watch people up on stage, the ones that get hypnotised are those that are extroverts. They want to be seen.
Okay.
And they want to comply with the hypnotist.
So they've got the will in place
yes.
to be able to do it.
And if they saw somebody next to them start quacking like a chicken, 10 seconds later they'd start quacking like a chicken because it's complying. So they're complying, not necessarily because they feel like quacking like a chicken.
No.
And there's a thing in hypnosis, is act as if.
Okay.
So you can act as if you're hypnotised.
Yeah.
So you copy someone else.
Yeah. And do you know, as the hypnotist, when that's happening?
Yes.
Are there signs that you'd be able to tell by their body language?
There are signs. I mean, classic signs of being in hypnosis is fluttering eyelids.
Okay.
Your face might start to get a bit redder because you're relaxed. There's more blood flowing through.
Sure.
Sometimes your head will slightly nod from side to side.
Mm-hmm.
So these are classic signs.
Yeah.
But they're different for every person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that one side of it. And there's another thing that, well, if you hypnotise me, I'll never be able to get out. I'll be lost forever. And that doesn't happen.
Okay.
Because I could count you out from 1 to 5, or you could count yourself out from 1 to 5.
Okay.
When you say 5, I'll open my eyes and wide awake.
Yeah. So that's not the case at all.
That's not the case. And conversely, people think, well, you'll get me to do something I don't want to do. But as I say, I was talking earlier,
yeah.
I can't get you to put your hand in boiling water when you're hypnotised.
No.
Because your body knows that is wrong and it won't do it.
Got you.
But if you want more confidence,
mm-hmm.
then your mind is going to react and relax and take in what I say to you. Mm.
So just on a different note altogether, and this is just breaking it down even smaller. Let's say if I wanted the confidence to walk on fire, in my mind, that's a shift between the body's reaction to protect my body and the confidence and the will to drive me to do that.
Yeah.
Now, would that be something that I would be able to overcome? Now, I'm just throwing it out there because it conflicts on the two sides.
Yeah, it's not a case of overcoming it. I think what people don't realise as well is that if you walk over those hot coals at a certain speed, your feet are not going to get burnt anyway.
Oh, okay.
Because there's momentum going through.
So once you tell someone that, actually, it puts the fear away from it. So.
Well, it depends how wide the coals are and how long the stretch is.
Yeah.
I think you'll notice that these stretches of hot coals are never more than 15 feet.
Yeah,
something like that.
I just use that as an example to kind of...
So you can walk across there in 8 steps, maybe, something like that.
Yeah, fair enough. Cool.
But what they do get you to visualise beforehand
mm-hmm.
is visualising like your feet are 2 blocks of ice.
Yeah.
Something I do in pain relief. I'll just add that in there. I had a hernia operation.
Okay.
at Warwick Hospital without any anaesthetic at all.
Oh, wow.
So
okay,
I did this through hypnosis.
Yeah.
And one of the things you can do is imagine, like, your hands in a bucket of cold water, and that cold is spreading all through your body, and it's becoming numb. And the number it gets, the pain just disappears. So I had my operation, took 45 minutes, I think it was, without any anaesthetic. And the anaesthetist was looking at me thinking, what's going on here?
Because that's a wow moment.
Yeah, I wish I'd filmed it, but I didn't.
Yes. So you spent 45 minutes under hypnosis.
No, I hypnotised myself. Yourself.
Which again is even more impressive because you did it yourself, and you had an operation being done to you. Now, was that mentally draining to be having that level of conversation?
It wasn't mentally draining. It was. I did have to concentrate a while.
Yeah.
When the surgeon talked to me and he said, "Are you all right there?" That sort of.
Yeah.
It didn't take me out of hypnosis because I could react with him.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, you'd have to. I wouldn't suggest to someone that hypnotise them. Oh, off you go, and do that yourself.
I can imagine you have to build up to that. And
you do have to build up with it. I mean, I do teach all my clients self hypnosis because in between my sessions, I give them things to do.
Yeah.
They take themselves into self hypnosis, do some visualisations that boost their confidence and everything else, and it gives them that tremendous boost.
Yeah. Well, we'll go on to that now, because you mentioned about an activity that anyone can do, apart from if they're driving or operating heavy machinery.
Yeah, I would say please don't do this if you're driving or operating heavy machinery.
Okay, so fire away. What is the activity that people can do?
Well, this is based on neuro-linguistic program, NLP as they call it. It's a way of teaching the mind to do certain things. So in this exercise, I basically want to... So we can start off now.
Mm.
If I say to people there, you're not driving, you're not operating machinery, just sit in an upright position.
Mm-hmm.
Take a nice deep breath, slow breath, and relax and let it out. And close your eyes.
Okay.
And I want you to come back to a time. It could be in your childhood. It could be recently, where you felt good. You felt safe and relaxed and everything was great for you. See that scene now in your mind. Picture it. Hear the sounds. Smell all the air. And feel good. Know that you are safe and relax and positive. And keep making those colours bigger and brighter, make those sounds louder, make that feeling encompass your whole body. And as you do that, I'd like you to press your thumb and your middle finger together and just keep them pressed like that. And what we're going to do is we're going to trigger this feeling anytime you want to do it. But for now, just bring back all those feelings. Wherever you are now, wherever you feel good, could be when you were having a holiday as a child, could be a holiday you've recently had, or somewhere that is good for you, where you feel safe and alive and happy. And now I just want you to let go of your thumb and your finger now, and let your mind just go blank and just relax. Don't think about anything, just relax. Take your time and breathe in and out slowly. And now I want you to trigger that feeling. Press your thumb and finger together. And as you do, bring back those feelings. Bring back that sound. Bring back that lovely feeling where you are safe and secure and happy and positive. And feel that coming through your body. It's tingling. Your body's tingling. You're feeling so great and so alive. You feel so good that you can do anything. And just let your thumb and finger go and relax your mind. Just think about nothing. Continue to breathe in and out slowly and just feel relaxed. And now one more time, press that trigger, your thumb and middle finger together, and feel all those feelings come back now. You're really buzzing, you're happy, you're alive, you're great to feel alive. And then just let go. And know that any time you want to feel good, you want to feel positive, a boost of energy, just press your thumb and finger and trigger that experience any time when you just close your eyes and feel great. Thank you.
Wow. Okay. That's brilliant. So I can understand why you can't do it when you're driving or...
Not to be done while driving or operating heavy machinery.
But do you find... How often would you recommend someone do that? Because that's a very powerful exercise.
They could do that 10 times a day if they're somewhere relaxed, where they won't be disturbed, or at least twice a day, once in the morning and once at night, before they go to bed and as soon as they wake up. It's a confidence booster, and it allows them to know that they can do something, and that a little exercise like this can give them a boost of energy.
Yeah, I know. I think, to be fair, if anyone's got a boost of energy at any point in time, and it's come from themselves, brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Cool. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, in terms of your business, how do people kind of book in with you? Is it a consultation? Is it?
Yeah, I do an initial consultation. I can do a telephone conversation with them first of all.
Sure.
And then book an initial consultation with me. On my number is 07534-930265. They can contact me on my website, which is www.derekcrosson.com. That's DerekCrosson.com.
Yep.
And I'm also on their business Facebook as Derek Fraser Crosson Hypnotherapy.
Perfect.
So they can get in touch with me in those ways.
Nice. Now, at the end of every interview, I always ask someone for their one bit of golden advice. So this is their golden nugget that they want to impart to anybody. So what would be your one golden...
My one golden nugget, it may sound strange, is to breathe properly.
Okay.
And breathe through your stomach. By breathing through your stomach, you raise your rib cage, which automatically brings your shoulders back and makes your stance correct and your posture correct. Mm-hmm. And by doing at least 10 of those deep stomach breaths, you relax your body.
Okay.
And you feel good and you bring in more air, which makes you feel more positive and more relaxed.
Perfect. So your one golden top tip to summarise is...
is breathe properly through your stomach.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Derek. We're going to be catching up again another time. And there will be a future podcast with a little bit more information as well. I believe it's your top three tips about what subject? Just double checking.
Well, my top three tips were...
Oh, no, we're not going to divulge them just yet. But what topic is it going to be in? Is it going to be about hypnotherapy?
It's going to be about hypnotherapy, yes, definitely.
Brilliant. So check out the podcast when it comes out. Derek,
excellent.
You're a star. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Gary.
Now, here are 10 simple ways that you can get involved with Leamington Hour straight away. Now, I'm going to break it down into days of the week to make it easier. So on Monday at 6:30 in the morning, I drop a email into your inbox, which is the first Leamington Hour newsletter. Now, this is full of useful hints, tips, links to blogs, links to podcasts, links to radio shows. Gives you really cool information, and you can use social media to sign up for that or go to www.leamingtonhour.co.uk for more details. Later on a Monday, between 6:30 and 7:30 in the evening, we have a Leamington Hour radio show, which is on Radio Warwickshire. Now, most of the interviews that you will hear on the podcast would have been on the Radio Warwickshire show. So if you do want to hear more interviews with more people before the podcast comes out, then tune in to Radio Warwickshire every Monday between 6:30 and 7:30. On Wednesday, it is Leamington Hour Day. So once a month, we have a monthly workshop, which happens normally between 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock in the 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, this ranges from different skills, ranging from Twitter, podcasting, blogging, content creation. There's 4 or 5 different workshops available. And again, you can check it out on the Eventbrite page or on the website. But they're there to help you develop and grow you and your business. Later on Wednesday, between 4 and 5, there's Leamington Hour on Twitter. All you need to do is type in hashtag Leamington Hour into the search box and just join them in the conversation. If you're not too sure about what a networking hour is, On my blog, I've just released a how to use a networking hour, and there's also a workshop about it as well. So if you're not too sure, give me a shout, I can send it over to you. Later on that day, straight after the hour, you've actually got a repeat of a limited hour radio show on Radio Warwickshire. And straight after that, at 6 o'clock, it's available to download. So if you did miss it and you want to download it, check it out on Audioboom, and that's another way of getting in touch. Once a month then, on a Wednesday, which is why I say Wednesday is Leamington Hour Day, because there's so much going on, we have the Leamington Hour networking event, which happens once a month in different locations in and around Leamington, and these are fantastic, if I don't say so myself. You've got two guest speakers at every event, plus also open networking before and after, and it's a great way of getting into networking, but it's also a great way of meeting new people. So let us know if you do want to get in touch and do you want to attend one of those. You can become a member, which is cheaper, or you can just pay as you go. Thursday, you can have a day off. And Friday, you've got another newsletter, which again has local information, hints, tips, blogs, loads of cool stuff coming to you at 6:30 in the morning. And also, this Leamington Hour podcast comes out as well. So subscribe to it on iTunes, check it out on Audioboom, check it out on the blog because it gets posted straight onto there. But there are the 10 ways you can get involved with Leamington Hour each month. In this podcast session, me and Derek are going to be talking about his top 3 tips, how to improve you, your mindset and your body. We are back now with Derek, and we're going to be talking about his top 3 tips on how to improve yourself. So Derek, what's your point number one?
Well, my point number one, I've probably mentioned it before, is breathing, is breathing through your stomach. And there's a twofold action in this. The breath through your stomach actually puts your shoulders back and gives you the right posture for you to take in more breath. And the more breath you take in, the better you feel, the more relaxed you feel.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
That's my number one tip.
What's your number two?
My number two tip is gratitude.
Okay.
So we tend to, in this world, miss the little things about us. We miss like the trees, all the birds and the flowers. And there's a lot to be grateful for, that you can smell those flowers, you can see all these things.
Yeah.
And the more that you are grateful, the more you notice it, the more abundance starts to happen in your life by being positive and in a positive frame of mind.
Makes sense. So point number two
is gratitude. Perfect. Just gratitude for small things.
And your point number three?
My point number three is what I'd call empowerment and taking action.
Sure, okay.
Take action every day to get where you want to go.
Okay.
So if you see yourself earning £100,000 a year, take little steps that will lead you that way. If you want to have more confidence, do little things that make you feel good. Mm-hmm. And know that every little step you take will get you to your final goal.
Gotcha.
So that's my third point, is take action.
Yeah.
Empower those changes in yourself.
Brilliant. So let's just recap on all three points. So point number one.
Point number one was breath and breathing properly through your stomach.
Perfect. Point number two.
Point number two is gratitude. Be grateful for the little things in your life.
Brilliant.
Because there are always people worse off than yourself.
Perfect. And point number three.
Point number three, I've just forgotten that at the moment, is to take action, is to empower yourself to take action, even little steps. Journey of 1,000 miles begins with one small step.
That's perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Gary.
Thank you so much, Derek, for that brilliant interview. I loved your top tips, which are absolutely amazing, so definitely take those on board, guys. But also, thank you very much for talking about your background, the inspiration behind it, and also you're helping so many people, which is what I love to hear. So thank you, Derek, you're top guy. Now, all of these interviews that I play on the Leamington Hour podcast have been on my radio show called Radio Warwickshire. Now, you can hear the Leamington Hour radio show every Monday between 6:30 and 7:30 in the evening, and it's then repeated on Wednesday between 5:00 and 6:00. So check it out on Radio Warwickshire. I've got some really cool guests coming up for you. So thank you very much, everyone, for listening today, and have a great week. Take care.